Okay. Kuben, are you happy? I don't need the handoff. Okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Gesiende Kerstfeest. Sorry, I got it wrong. Feliz Navidad. Kali Anastasi. Check silence. Is there not a Greek in the house except me and my family? Yeah, my mom. Very warm welcome to you. What a privilege to be here today. My first Christmas with our family together to celebrate, to worship. And I was praying, like, what do I share this morning? What do I say? What do we talk about? Well, obviously, it's Christmas. But the first of many. You know, as a pastor, Adam will tell you, he was in ministry for 105 years, something like that. You know, to think of a Christmas message, it's the same message, but the gospel doesn't change, does it? But I thought I want to start off, because if there are visitors here, I want to welcome you. Very warm welcome to you. Don't worry, don't look nervous. I'm not going to make you stand up or anything like that. I just want to say welcome. And I hope you got a chocolate. And I hope that something I say today is reasonably intelligent and that Jesus does something in your heart. And you go, well, maybe this could be my spiritual home going forward. So a very warm welcome to you. So, because, you know, I don't normally do this, but I thought I should. And many would have seen this before. What if the three wise men were women? Anyone seen this before? A few people, yeah? But if the three wise men were women, they would have asked for directions. They would have arrived on time. They would have helped deliver the baby. They would have cleaned the stable. They would have made a casserole. And they would have bought more practical gifts. Amen. I mean, we bring spices to a baby, you know. I don't talk to a baby shower. Look, I'm fine with that. I love cooking, so spices are good, you know. But you see, everyone went amen. But you see, what would the women have said when they left Jesus? They would have started with this. Did you see the sandals Mary was wearing with that gown?
Yes.
That baby doesn't look anything like Joseph. Can you believe that they let all those disgusting animals in the house? She's getting quiet now. Let's see, the ladies are going amen, 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 and now it's going quieter and quieter. I heard that Joseph isn't even working right now. And that donkey they're riding on, it's definitely seen better days. And you want to bet how long it's going to take you to get your casserole dish back? No, you see it, okay. So, this morning, I want to talk about the so what of Christmas. That's a wonderful, wonderful time. Celebration of family and together. And we're going to go and be with family later. But it's a significant time on the Christian calendar. And we celebrate Christ being born, Christ with us. But what does God desire to birth in you and in me in the reality of living in South Africa at the end of 2023? Because that's kind of where we're at. We live in a complex society, don't we? It's a complicated place, it's messy. And with the facts of crime and struggle and corruption and load shedding and the extreme gap between the rich and the poor, the brain drain, and the dipping or the upping and downing of the economy, we find ourselves in a situation where so many feel trapped, so many feel overwhelmed, and so many feel lacking hope. This has gone dead quiet now. It's like, okay, I thought you were going to encourage us this morning, Andrew, and now you're coming with us. But remember that Mary gave birth to Jesus in a time of huge political instability. Do you remember? where people were oppressed under Roman occupation. Circumstances were certainly not ideal for giving birth to a baby. There's nothing ideal about her situation. She was away from home, away from the support of her family and her mother, and there was no room at the inn, and they had to make do. They were threatened by Herod, remember the story? After that, they had to flee. She had to flee with her young child to flee to the safety of Egypt. Not ideal at all. So Jesus wasn't born into what the Hollywood picture of the perfect country is or the perfect life is. He was born into political instability and difficulty and occupation and pain and struggle and poverty and so much more. There's nothing ideal about our current situation, but there is hope, and the hope is Jesus. He is. The answer is Jesus. He's the hope for our souls. And then as we receive that hope, it's to share that hope, that love, and that joy with the world around us. And that's what I pray. I pray that in these weeks and months ahead, that this morning there would be those wonderful things we spoke about. Peace, love, joy. Peace, love, joy. And hope. Thank you. I couldn't remember the fourth one. But I pray that something is imparted to you this morning of that. But it all starts with us. It starts with us encountering the true and living Jesus for ourselves. So this morning, I want to talk about his new birth and our new birth. That's the so what of Christmas. So read with me. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. You know, this is the only religion that God is with you. If you look at any other religions based on personalities, God is not with you. God did not come for you. There's a whole lot of stuff you had to do, and maybe you'll please the God that you serve in, and maybe things will happen. But Jesus is God with us. Free. Free. Gift of Christmas. God with us. So, his birth in history went like this, and read with me. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you," talking to Mary, "and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Jesus was born into this world, not from it. He didn't emerge out of history. He didn't. He came into history. He broke into history. You know, that's why we have B.C., before Christ, A.D., I can't say it. You know what I'm talking about? Thank you. That thing after Christ. Okay. He came into history from outside of it. Jesus isn't the best human being that the human race can boast of. He's a being that the human race can take no credit for at all. He's not a man becoming God. It is God incarnate. God himself coming into human flesh from outside of it. His life is the highest and holiest entering through the humblest of doors. You know, J. John says the hinge of human history hangs on a stable door in Bethlehem. That's quite good, eh? It's not even in my notes, I just remembered that. That was a Holy Spirit moment, you can have it for free. I hope there's not a lot more of those because I need to get through my sermon so we can go home for Christmas, yeah? So, our Lord's birth was the appearance of God in human form. His birth into the world made way for his birth in me and in you. That's the deal. That Jesus can be born in us and live in us and with us. Christ was born into history, and when we encounter him, he's birthed in us. Just as Jesus came into history from outside of it, he comes into our lives from outside, and he needs to come into our lives from the outside. Galatians 4:19 says, "My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed," where? "In you." Christ is formed in you. He is birthed into our lives. His birth into the world made space for him to be birthed into our lives. So here's a question for us to consider for today. And it's, if you remember nothing else, I want you to remember this question and maybe take it away and consider it. Have I allowed my personal human life to become a Bethlehem for the Son of God? Have I allowed him to come and be born in my life, take lordship of my life? Because I cannot enter the realm of the kingdom of God unless I am born again from above. Remember that scripture? Like, not my physical birth. In John 3, verse 3 and verse 7, Jesus said this. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. You must be born again. This isn't a command, it's a fact based on the authority of God. Is there evidence of his new birth in my life? Because I would live differently. My life would look different. I would be a little bit more full of hope and peace and joy and love. And there would be an expression of that to the world around me. Have I given my life over to the Lordship of Jesus completely, that Christ is formed in me? Yeah, I often hear people say things like, but God made me this way, why must I change? It's not that you have to change, it's just that when Christ is born in you and birthed in you, his life is expressed differently through the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. A guy by the name of Friar Lauer, a long time ago, he wrote One Bread and One Body, said this, the more I say no to myself, the more I say yes to the Holy Spirit. Isn't that, that's the deal here. The more I say no to myself, the more I say yes to the Holy Spirit. Because we are not nice enough to do this life on our own. Some of you look offended. Okay, I know, okay, let me say it this way. I know I'm not nice enough to do this life on my own. I need Jesus, I need the Holy Spirit in me, and I need Christ formed in me in order to live this life. So as we celebrate Christmas, say yes to the Lord and no to yourself. But how do you do that? There's a few ways. Jesus said, don't look back. Jesus said this, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. And it's not that we don't look back, it's just that we are new creations in Christ and we can't let our past dictate where our future is going always. We kind of got to go, I'm a new creation in Christ and I will live differently from today forward. And it doesn't matter. I sinned, I was broken, I messed up, whatever the case may be, but in Jesus Christ, I'm a new creation and the slate is clean and I can walk forward. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying here. And how do we do that? The writer of Hebrews says we fix our eyes on Jesus. Because who knows that sleuthfoot? You'll know I'll refer to sleuthfoot as that, you know, Satan. Sleuthfoot reminds us of the past all the time. Doesn't he? Anybody? You know that 2 o'clock in the morning and you wake up and you go, oh man. And we disqualify ourselves from what God is calling us to. Anybody feel that way? We fix our eyes on Jesus. And once Christ is formed in me, things begin to change and his nature begins to work in and through me. God evident in the flesh. God evident in the flesh. And this is profoundly made possible through the birth of Jesus. His new birth into the world and his birth into my life. Emmanuel, God with us. And you may be sitting here this morning going, no, but Andrew, you don't actually know how bad I am. Or how bad I was. Or what I went through. You don't know what's going on in my life, with my wife, with my finances, with my job, whatever the case may be. God is not interested in where you've been, what you've done, whatever the case may be. He's interested in how willing are you right now to say yes to Jesus. Doesn't matter. Even if something happened this morning on your way here. How willing are you in this moment to say yes to Jesus? Imagine, but I don't know if this impacts my reality. Let me say, no matter what is going on in your life, the answer is Jesus. The answer is Jesus. He's Jesus with you. Because whatever you're going through, you can know for certainty that he is with you. David put it so well yesterday. That he is with you. Nothing can separate you from Christ's love. From God's love that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Even in the midst of pain and chaos and struggle, we can have joy. Is this even possible? Who is this Jesus that is God with us? And can I say that it's okay to have questions? People have been questioning this for thousands of years. It's okay to have questions. Because I wonder if blind faith is any faith. Sometimes our faith, we can question our faith. We can ask God questions, it's okay. Even John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, had questions. Remember? When he was in prison, he said this. When John heard in prison that Christ was what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" So this is John the Baptist. This is Jesus' cousin. He hung out with Jesus. He's the guy who was baptizing people, and he said, "Hey, that's the guy." And he saw the heavens open, and he heard God's voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved son." Remember that story? We haven't got time to get in all of that. But that guy is going, "Are you the one?" Even though he had seen all that stuff. It's okay. What was Jesus' response? Hey, I love Jesus' response. This is now we're getting into it. Huh? There's Jesus' response. "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor." And you go, no, that only happened with Jesus. I'm going, no, that happens now and today. I've been in ministry since last century. And let me tell you, on a regular basis, I see blind eyes open, deaf ears open, the lame walk, cancer flee. I see people die as well. That also happens, you know, because it's their time. But I have seen the most amazing things. I see the unchurched come to faith because he is the Son of God and he's Emmanuel, he's God with me. This thing of Jesus is real. He's the Messiah who's with us and who brings healing into our own lives, but we need to be intentional about seeking him out. It doesn't happen by osmosis. Okay? I so often hear people this time of the year. Has anyone heard people say something like this? "It just doesn't feel like Christmas." Anybody? "Or, I just don't feel Christmas." Yeah? But the reality is we need to be intentional about seeking Jesus out. About preparing our hearts. That's what Advent is all about. That was the last four Sundays, was about preparing our hearts for this morning. For the coming birth of Jesus. It's not like we just wake up one morning. It's like, trust me, when you wake up on the 1st of January, there's not some magic thing that happens overnight that now your life's going to be better. You've got to be intentional. Same deal with Jesus. Are you reading the Bible? Are you worshiping? Are you praying? Are you seeking his face and his will and his wisdom for your life? And when you hear it, the whisper of the Holy Spirit, are you praying for the sick? Are you casting out demons? Are you feeding the poor? There was a wealthy guy. We'll call him Zacchaeus. You know Zacchaeus? You know, Zacchaeus, yeah? But we're going to call him Zacchae this morning. And he was intentional about seeking Jesus out. Here's the deal. He wanted to see Jesus, so he's a wealthy guy, but was a short man, so he couldn't because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. So think of the wealthiest person you know personally. The wealthiest person, yes. The wealthiest person you know personally. So I'm talking about Bill Gates or Elon Musk or whatever. We all know someone who's got bucks. Yeah? I'm just asking, do you know anyone that's wealthy? Can someone say, okay, thanks, Edge, and she's going, yes, she knows someone. Okay. So you think of the wealthiest person you know. You've got a picture of them in your mind? Everyone can go like this. Yes? Okay, just so that you're still with me. Can you imagine them running through a crowd, climbing up a tree in their fancy clothes, standing on their Porsche's roof, climbing onto a tree to see someone? That's the picture we need to have here. We need to go after Jesus with that kind of abandon, that kind of passion. And it doesn't matter what the world thinks. It doesn't matter if the world thinks you're a lunatic. It's okay. I'm a lunatic for Jesus. Remember we had the World Cup last year? Feels like it was a very long time ago, the Soccer World Cup. Remember? FIFA reckons that there were almost 3.6 billion people, fans, who watched the Soccer World Cup. This year, thank you Jesus, the Springboks won the World Cup. So, World Rugby reckons there were a billion fans that watched the rugby. So he has the question, why is it when I get so excited about the screen box, because I do, you'll see as you get to know me, I'm a fan. But if I get the least bit excited about Jesus, I'm a fanatic. The visitors are going, hey, this folks dodge. But it's true. It's absolutely true. So, you know, I am a fanatic for Jesus. I am. I'm a Jesus fan, and I'm a Jesus fanatic, and I'm unapologetic about it. I'm a Jesus junkie, because he's my rock. He has been the one constant, solid in my life, through the ups, through the downs. He has never left me. He has been God with me through everything. But I have needed to be intentional about practicing his presence, about seeking his face, because I can get caught up in the stress of life and forget that he's standing there right next to me. So I've pulled together a couple of scriptures from Isaiah. And I've just taken sections of it. So I'm going to read the whole passage, because it's from Isaiah 35, 6 to 10, 10, 40, 31. There's a whole lot. We haven't got time to read all of that. But just read some of these scriptures with me. Strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear, he will come to save you. The eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like the deer, and a new tongue shout for joy. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. The Lord himself will renew their strength. Question this morning, anyone need that? Or some of that? One of those phrases. We all do it, but it's all found in Jesus. This here is a prophetic picture of Jesus. These are prophecies of the Messiah to come. You need strength. You need steady knees. You need to deal with fear. Whatever it is Jesus. There, written 700 odd years before he was born. If you're going after difficulties, go after Jesus. Be a Jesus junkie. And who cares what anyone else thinks? I'm okay to be a fool for Christ. As John Wimber says, whose fool are you? His birth and our new birth, Emmanuel, God with us. And you may be, you know, that you might be questioning difficulties that are going on in your life. I want to encourage you this way this morning. Why don't you let Jesus displace the why in your life? That why, that question why don't you let Jesus push it out the way and displace it and put him central? Because that why will just go away. Because sometimes ours is not to question why, it's just to trust. Because he is a good father. He's God with us, and he has a good, pleasing, and perfect plan. And sometimes we don't understand it. Then you know what happens? Listen to how the Passion Translation paraphrase puts this. When you focus on Jesus, you will be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus. Stand victorious with the force of his explosive power flowing in and through you. So you can either worry, or you can let Jesus displace the worry in your life and be supernaturally infused with him, standing victorious with his explosive power flowing in and through you. You choose. Your choice. We can choose life or we can choose worry. That's the deal. His birth and our new birth today. God with us is not simply for us. We displace the why. Jesus displaces. We are infused with his power. We encounter Jesus. But our lives are to be given over to him for us to engage with his mission into the world. Our new birth in Christ means we no longer live for ourselves. There's a broken and hurting world out there that needs Jesus. Has anyone got anyone coming over for lunch today that doesn't know Jesus? Okay, well, then you've got something to tell someone. Just so you're aware, those people sitting in the front, not one person in our church put their hand up and said, I've just got Christians coming around for lunch. Yeah, but you know what? God bless you. That's what it's about. We're supposed to be salt and light. But so many people have been so brainwashed and manipulated about this thing of Christmas and hyped up that they can't even see the Christ of Christmas because of the obstructions of the consumerism and everything that's going on. Paul says this to the Galatians and to us. I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What Paul is saying is because of this union with Christ, we can live for him. So if you have Jesus in your life, you can live for him today. And part of living up to that truth is living up to engaging with his mission into the world. And we all have that mission. Wherever we are, whoever you're dealing with, we all have that mission into the world. Colossians 1:27, Paul says this. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you. What does it say there? The hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You and I are called to make him known, to give reason to the hurt, lost, and lonely, why we have hope. That Christ is our hope. He's the hope of glory. Think of, don't worry, I'm coming into land. Some of you look concerned. I'm not starting another sermon, okay? I just want to give you an illustration of how we can do this in terms of, we all went, yes, Christ is my hope of glory. Yes, Christ is in me. Yes, Christ, there's a new birth, his new birth in me. His birth into the world, sorry, made room for his birth in me. But there's a purpose to that. Think of the paralyzed man that his friends brought. Remember the story? Paralyzed guy, his friends brought him. Let's just read that passage quickly. Some men carrying a paralytic on a mat tried to take him into the house and lay him before Jesus. They could not find a way to do this because of the crowd. They went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. So the so what of Christmas is he's born, he's God with us. But there's a purpose to that as well. It's that he can displace the wild, but that also we have a plan. We have a purpose to play. So the question is, this morning, if you're going to take Christ to a hurt world, maybe in this moment, ask the Lord who he wants you to carry to Christmas. Is there someone that he wants you to carry to Christmas? Just think of that picture. How dedicated were those four guys that they got there? The church was the church. The house was so full that they dug a hole in the roof and they dropped the guy down. Lowered the guy down, sorry. Gotta be careful with your language. Oh, there we go. We're Christ is the church, 100%. So have you talked to God, you know, about these people? Maybe the people I'm talking about that God is asking you to carry to Christmas. You need to talk to God about them. And once you've spoken to God about them, you've got to talk to them about God. Okay? Ask the Lord to give you prophetic words that will remove the proverbial tiles off the roof so they can meet Jesus. And you know what, when they meet Jesus, this is what they'll hear. My friend, your sins are forgiven. Guilt is gone. You are a new creation. Welcome to the family. Your eternal life is secure. You're reconciled to your Creator. You no longer live for today, but you live through the lenses of eternity, which get us through the circumstances that we're going through now. And why in your life can be displaced by Jesus. That's when we have a real Christmas. And there's so many people that are trapped. There's so many people that are struggling, like that paralytic that needed four friends to bring him with enough love and faith to carry him to Jesus. And maybe there's that friend. I think we all have one of them. That is. It's been like 20 years. And you have conversations and it's like a brick wall. Well, you know what? Why not get a couple of faithful friends in your discipleship group, your life group. We're going to call them discipleship groups in the new year. Huh? And why don't you get a few friends to pray with you for that person and help you carry them to the Christ of Christmas? Maybe it's necessary. So that's a so what of Christmas. Could it be that the source of joy and hope for people in distress is Christ in me, the hope of glory? That we could help others hear an encouraging word. Can we be ambassadors for Jesus? Because of his birth into this world, God with us made space and room for his birth in me. And his birth in me calls me to tell someone about Jesus. So I want to close. Hey, I've done well. So here's a couple of questions. Have I allowed my life, personal human life, to become a Bethlehem for the Son of God? The more I say no to myself, the more I can say yes to the Holy Spirit. This morning, will you allow Jesus to displace the wine in your life? And because Christ is in you, he's the hope of glory, the hope to a heavenly world. Ask the Lord who wants you to carry to Christmas. So we're going to celebrate with a song. And can we stand for the song? And we have ministry time, it's Christmas, whatever. If you need prayer, please stick around. But I'd like us to, before this last song, I want us to pray. And when I ask the question, has everyone got, everyone coming to your table today is saved? Everyone said, no, we've got some people that possibly. So, how about we just take a moment to pray and just bring that person in your heart before Jesus. Who is it today that you will commit to caring to Christmas? And it starts with praying for them. Because a strong call to repentance without a move of the Holy Spirit is just legalism. That's how people hear it. Yeah? So let's just take a moment. Holy Spirit, would you just come as we celebrate you, Jesus, this morning. Holy Spirit, as we are reminded of your children, sons and daughters that don't know you, give us the faith to carry them to Christmas. In your heart this moment, just bring one person. You don't have to bring 20 people. Just one person to Christmas in your prayers this morning. Just say, Lord Jesus, have your way in this person. Give me prophetic words to speak. Give me prophetic insight. Give me words of knowledge. Let them encounter your power and your presence, Jesus, in and through me, because you are the hope of glory in their lives. So, Holy Spirit, every single person here who lifted up someone to you, would you begin to work? Would you make a way for spiritual conversations? Releasing signs and wonders. That people would come to know you as we carry them to Christmas. And Lord, for our family here, I bless you this morning in the name of Jesus. I bless you with his presence. I bless you with his peace. I bless you with his protection. I bless you with his provision. I bless you this morning as you go from this place. Let us celebrate Jesus with song and let's continue to just worship him and carry those to him who need to be carried to him. Come, Holy Spirit.